Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Crossland, Corsa and Mokka. Three good reasons to visit the Opel Open Road event.
Now, we know the government's climate action plan has set a target for agriculture to reduce emissions between 22 and 30% in the next 8 years. What's it like, though, to be a young farmer in Ireland at the moment? And are they set up for the challenge of combating climate change? Well, I'm joined on the line by Sean Roddy, who's a farmer in County Louth, and Helena Coughlin, who's a farmer in Buttevant in Cork. You're both very welcome, Helena and Sean. Thank you for joining us today.
Hello, Claire.
So you're both in and around the 30 mark. You're in your 30s, we should say. So we just wanted to get your view on what life is like and what the challenges are that you're facing. Sean, first to you, how do you see that this challenge of adapting to climate change on the farm?
It is a huge challenge, but it's an exciting challenge at the same time. A lot of what we do on farms already, a lot of what we have been doing has been, and a lot of what we do anyway is about tackling those issues, because mm-hmm. a lot of those issues feed into how we run our business.
And what are you doing at the moment then to address it?
Well, I suppose it's the day-to-day running of the farm. So we are looking at how the genetics we use in our cattle, how we feed our animals, how we manage the nutrients in the soils, the fertilizers we use, how those are spread, both our organic manures and our artificial manures, and all of that, because every input we put in is a cost, and it is also obviously impacting on our carbon footprint. So by minimizing our inputs or utilizing our inputs to their maximum, we're getting the most impact. We're reducing our own costs, but we're also then driving a more efficient and more sustainable carbon efficiency on the farm.
Okay, and Helena, how do you react to the criticism of farmers from some that farmers are in denial about climate change, that they're reluctant, they're unwilling to change their practices? What do you say to that?
I say it doesn't reflect very well on themselves that they make such a broad statement about an entire industry. I mean, agriculture is intrinsically science-based, and young farmers are some of the most educated people we have in the country. We've been listening to the climate debate our entire life at this point, and we're also seeing the effect of changing climate on farm as we speak. It's the 29th of November and we still have quite a number of animals outdoors, which is borderline unheard of, you know. But we are more than aware that this could swing the other way. We must have contingencies in place for when the weather turns against us again, you know. It's something that you know, young farmers are aware of, and we are educated enough to know that we need to be keeping on top of our game, you know, keeping up with new scientific processes to try and mitigate the effect.
And do you feel you're getting enough support to make the changes that you need to be taken now from a government perspective?
Well, the government isn't entirely sure what changes they want to make. So, I mean, how can an industry that is fundamentally not very nimble, because, I mean, we work on 5-10 year projections, you know. A crop doesn't come out of the ground for, you know, it's not a 1 month turnaround, you know. So we need time, and we need forward planning to be able to implement any changes the government want to make. It can't just be a case of swing around and we need you to do all of this now, because, I mean, young farmers have very, very difficult access to credit at the moment. So any major changes that need to be made, if you can't get the credit for it and you're going to be penalised for not having it, how are you going to future-proof your business going forward when there is no plan in place from Irish or European governments? So, I mean, we're trying to do our best. We are capable of rising to the challenge, but with no roadmap, I mean, what are we expected to do?
I know you've both worked internationally, and Sean, you worked in farming, didn't you, in New Zealand at one point? And the difference between here and other countries, you say, is that farmers can be farmers in other countries. In Ireland right now, farmers have to be a farmer and something else in order to have a livable income.
Yeah, well, I suppose one of the biggest challenges as a young farmer farming in Ireland at the moment is the viability of our businesses. And we do have in Ireland a large proportion of part-time farmers. And, you know, a lot of young farmers now, their ambition is to be farmers first and foremost. So to do that, we need to have a viable business. In New Zealand or in the UK, farmers are in the ability or have the ability to for that to be their sole profession and for that to be their sole focus.
Mm-hmm. Is that because consumers expect to get very cheap food?
Well, I suppose policy has led us down that road of cheap food. You know, the cap was originally brought in to control the cost of food and to ensure that all consumers can afford food so that we didn't suffer from food poverty throughout Europe. Now, what we have now with CAP is that we're continuing to look for that to happen, but CAP now needs to deliver more, and it has to deliver on more environmental impact solutions as well. But we're still coming from the same pot, and so the cost to deliver those improvements into the environment, those improvements in efficiency, are coming out of the pocket of the farmer. And really, I suppose it's about, you know, consumers pay about 10% of their income now is spent on their food. And mm-hmm. possibly now we're at a point where if we want CAP to deliver from an environmental viewpoint, then that we're going to look at food becoming more expensive, because ultimately, as a young farmer and as young farmers coming through, they're not going to enter into the industry. They're not going to tackle the issues that we have for us if their businesses are not viable in the first place.
Okay, and viability is an issue, Helena, I know that you need to think about as well. But just when it comes to climate action, what actions are you taking now to address those challenges?
I mean, it's not just the actions we're taking now, but the actions we've been taking for 20 years. You know, a lot of young farmers who are, especially with, say, myself, who I'm lucky enough to be coming into a very viable and very environmentally diverse farm. Like, you know, we've been planting trees here for over 20 years. We actively manage hedgerows because, as people know, you can't just let things go wild. You have to manage biodiversity to ensure it's diverse. You know, we've been planting trees, as I said. We're part of what is fundamentally an eco scheme, which is derogation is ensuring that we use low emission slurry spreading to try and ensure the highest efficiency use of nitrogen. We're incorporating this year. We've based on some science that has been coming out on adding bacteria to slurry, we're putting the science into practice on our own farm, and we're adding bacteria to slurry to improve usage. You know,
I'm going to have to leave it there, Helena. But listen, I think what we'll do is we might catch up with you both again in a couple of months' time and see how things are going as the Climate Action Plan progresses. But for now, Sean and Helena, thank you both very much indeed